I was born bold.
Pivot, protect. Whatever your next move, choose Judo Bank, Essendon Havel and Great Wall. Open again after stage four.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Welcome back to the program. We are delighted to welcome and introduce to SEN Jess Halloran, the chief sports writer for The Australian. She's co-authored books. She is the hugely respected journalist, and it's great to have her on the program. Welcome, Jess.
Oh, thanks for the introduction.
Can you just, before we get into some of the issues we want to have a chat about, perhaps just by way of introduction to some of our listening audience that may not be aware of your background, can you give us your history and what you've been doing?
Yeah, well, I was actually born in Victoria and I was raised in Shepparton, and I got a cadetship at the Sydney Morning Herald back in 2001 and have been working up here for the last 19 years and swapped from the Sydney Morning Herald to the Sunday Telegraph in 2009, and then I just became the chief sports writer at The Australian earlier this year. It's been an amazing ride, and along the way I also wrote I co-wrote Yelena Dokic's autobiography for her, and that was amazing. And at the moment, we're working on a documentary.
Jess, I thought you'd finished then. Sorry, and the old man played for Carlton as well.
Yes, he did. Back in the 70s, from 75 to 77, he was actually like one of, I guess you would say, one of the big great hopes of the Kyneton region, and he was sort of he was drafted from there, and they gave him Ron Barassi's number, and then you know his career was sort of crueled by injuries, and he ended up playing footy back in Shepparton and played for Maroofna, and they won a premiership and played alongside Chris Smith. He used to play for Fitzroy, and great times.
And just at the weekend, you wrote a great article about James O'Connor. It was a great insight to that young man, a rugby star as he was as a young man, where he'd been in life, where he is now. As a journalist, I'm interested, what was your takeaway from that story?
You know, it was one of the most sort of stunning interviews I've done in a while. I just was kind of blown away by his honesty. There was this quote in it, and I don't know if your listeners read it, but he said, "I was always chasing pleasure. I had never seen money like it. Your ego kicks in and you think you're untouchable." It's sort of just this really raw kind of explanation of how fame can go to your head. As we know, you know, he was the youngest ever Super Rugby player. He went on to play for the Wallabies very quickly, and it all got to him. And I think what was interesting was, I guess it shows you the pitfalls of professional football, like, to be honest. And you directed me actually in the direction of a Steve Kerr podcast with Doc Rivers, and they were talking about how back in the day, back in the 80s when they were playing, that it was all just about the purity of playing basketball and playing to win, and winning was enough. And I think the thing with James was he sort of spoke so deeply about how winning just wasn't enough, and he was constantly kind of craving these highs off the field and also the adulation. He was playing the game so he would get the attention off the field in the nightclubs, you know, with the girls. Like, he was so frank and honest. And then when his body started breaking down, he really struggled. He you know, obviously got quite depressed and then sort of drinking to numb the pain, and he had all sort of spiraled out of control for him from there.
Really hard to grow up in the public eye, isn't it, as an 18-year-old like he did, so celebrated, all that money, all that adulation at an early stage of his life. And he had other issues that he didn't know how to deal with at the time. And all I knew about him was, you know, picking up the paper and reading a headline about this bad boy behaviour, and never sort of stopping to think about what might have been behind it.
Yeah. It was sort of he was sort of just known as a brat, you know, and he sort of said, "I probably was behaving like a brat." And as a reporter, I guess a lot of the times you don't really get that deep access to these guys, and you don't really get to know them. And then perhaps you go and write a column that's really quite scathing. I didn't in this case, but it probably have in the past. And you sort of, it was really interesting to actually get to know someone properly and have them be so reflective and go so deep and speak so honestly. about that and about that lifestyle. And I mean, he's not saying he's some like poor victim and, you know, oh, poor me, but I think he's just a good example in how, I guess, footy clubs and administrations really need to take care of young players in this modern day and age where there are so many sort of pressures that I guess you, Gary and Tim probably never really had to experience.
No, we are with Jess Halloran, who's the chief sports writer with the Australian. We didn't, from that point of view, but we did play a game that has you at the end of a game, if you're a winning team, sing a club song. The Mabiel Chol situation that came to light on the weekend, what was your take on it and your read on it? Because it is a story that captured the imagination of so many people because it was just so incredibly... Well, you couldn't even imagine having seen what you saw.
Yeah, it was juvenile. It made me feel really uncomfortable, made me feel really upset for the players involved. And it's just a form of bullying, really. Like, if you just cut it right back. But, you know, that wasn't being done to a Tony Lockett-style character or Dustin Martin, was it? And I think if you just strip it all back to that, it was just a bit gross as well. I mean, I think the way that Richmond handled it was really poor. I listened to that press conference between Hugh Remington and Damien Hardwick, and I thought that was just a very small-minded, combative kind of way to handle a situation. And look, you know, as we know, I think the Tigers, although they've sort of been held up for having this amazing culture, I mean, they're really... They've been battling, haven't they, really, with their off-field stuff over the last couple of weeks. And, I know there were words like indecent assault being thrown around. And, look, the AFL has come down like a ton of bricks in the last 24 hours, which has been good to see, and they've taken it really seriously. But I couldn't help but think, you know, it just sort of shone a light on the fact that the AFL said absolutely nothing around Jordan Ngoi. When we did have a serious police charge happening, and it is an indecent assault charge, and we still haven't heard from the AFL on this, and they've shown no leadership. But, yeah, look, the leadership that they've shown on this stuff's been great in the last 24 hours. I'd just like to see a bit more on an issue like Jordan Ngoi.
We're coming up to our news, but Peter Volandis we're fascinated with here. I mean, you are in Sydney. Good for the game, good for the sport. What's the general consensus?
Oh, he's amazing. I think he's, you know, an incredible leader. I don't think I've seen anybody quite like him up here in the last 20 years. And I think his strength is that he understands the grassroots of the game and he understands why people love the game. In the paper today up here, they've announced that, you know, the NRL's perhaps on the cusp of securing a deal with the New South Wales state government to develop 5 boutique stadiums. And, you know, there's stadiums that are costing between $150 to $200 million per stadium. And Volandis is on the cusp of making this happen. And that just shows you how much he wants the Tribals in back, because they're small stadiums, they're 20,000 seat stadiums. And I don't know, I think Tony Shepherd was saying to Gil McLaughlin earlier this year that, you know, he had basically trouble on his hands with Volandis in charge up here. And I think he's right. He's been amazing.
We love him as well. Hey, just a quick one before we let you go, and it's great to have you on. We look forward to hearing your thoughts on all these topics as we roll along. The AFL Grand Final, you are a Victorian girl. You understand how important this is to us. Looks highly unlikely that the MCG are going to be in a position to host. Where would you suggest it go?
Oh, to Sydney, to Stadium Australia, I think... Yeah. In fact, look, you know, you've got the AFL pouring, hundreds of millions of dollars into the Giants, and the same up north. Look, if it's not going to be here, then it's got to be in Queensland, you know, obviously with the COVID, you know, being the way it is, and there is still a bit of a community transmission here in Sydney. Definitely throw it up somewhere north. Forget about Adelaide.
It's absolutely sensational. We ask you, you say Sydney. Kane Corn says it's got to be in Adelaide. Jonathan Brown says it has to be at the Gabba. And Tim Gossage says if it's not in Perth, we'll burn the joint down. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. Hey, Jess, it is great to hear your voice on SEN, and we look forward to having you on regularly on our breakfast program. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Jess Halloran, who's the chief sports writer at The Australian. And great response, great feedback. And as we said, it's great to have a different voice, and we will welcome her as we push forward. Let's get some news headlines with Meredith Gibbs.